2 Peter chapter 1 verse 16. Okay. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honour and glory, when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And we heard this voice, which came from heaven, when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so, we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed, as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Amen. I trust as we look at this passage that you'll be as encouraged as I am. Because you see, this is a passage that particularly the Roman Catholic Church and others have, even some in the Protestant persuasions, have caused us to feel that we cannot, in the privacy of our own home, read the scriptures for ourselves. It's a passage that has made us feel as if that we are not equipped and not able to open up the scriptures. And yet we are told, aren't we, that we are, when the Lord went into heaven, we would be given a helper. We would be given a comforter, the Holy Spirit. And we are told in the Psalms that the Lord gives light unto the scriptures. And the psalmist talks about the fact that he delighted in the law. Now, he wasn't a priest. He was a king. And yet he talks about the fact that he could open up the scriptures. And so we'll have a look at these couple of verses, 19 to 21. Sounds a big chunk today, but I will cover the whole of the three verses. But I will be looking a little bit in the Greek. I don't very often, but if you could bear with me, hopefully at the end of what we look at, it'll really encourage your heart. These have been verses that have brought great division in the church. And the particular verse that has done that is verse 20. Knowing this verse, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. And it's been one of the reasons that there were others, but one of the big reasons that there was a split in between the Roman Catholic Church and Protestantism. So you can't take the Scriptures to yourself. That Wycliffe was wrong to say that he wanted the ploughboy to be able to have the scriptures in his own tongue. That Luther was wrong to translate the New Testament into the common German language so all that those that could read could understand the scriptures. This is what was said. It was said that only the church could interpret the scriptures. No prophecy of the scripture was of any private interpretation. They said that Protestantism was condemned because of their claim for the universal priesthood of all believers. Well, that's wrong. You can't condemn them because of that. Because way back in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy, the Lord says that I wanted you to be a kingdom of priests. I don't just want the Levites serving me. I want you all to be serving me. And this is not a new concept. It was a concept that was carried on into the New Testament. They said nothing can be so dangerous as the individuals that should face the word and by themselves should try to understand it. That's what the church around said. There's nothing more dangerous than the individual taking hold of the word of God and reading it for themselves. Sat there with Pam yesterday. And she said, I was reading the Isaiah 41. And Martin, I nearly texted you. I couldn't work my phone properly. And she said, it was such a blessing to my heart. What the Church of Rome was saying, that Pam had no right to be blessed of God. Well, hopefully as we look at this, we'll see that that's the they are on. But if it was true, we would need to ask the question, do we believe in the need for the church as well as the word? Now, of course, we do have the church, and I believe in the church. But do we need the church more than the word? Or is the word the final authority? And the church is not absolutely needful to interpret the word, but that the church is judged by the word. You see, you have to remind yourself of this, that this is the very word of God. And all that we do, whether in private, in public, as a corporate body of God's people, we are judged by this word. A church that is not guided by this book is a church that is like a boat without a rudder. We're off course and we will never be what we should be. That was the main controversy that came from verse 20. And there are others, there are lots of others that would take up unnecessary time. Now, here's a question. Have you ever purchased anything, more so these days, a product, and you get the instructions, and they are in English, but you know that they've not been written by someone who is proficient in English. And it takes ages to work something out. And finally, when you figure it out, you think to yourself, why didn't they write that in the first place? Why didn't they say that? I know the ladies always say that you can tell a man's written this. Well, I can always tell you this. Men don't write instructions. They just do whatever they do. But you see, the word of God, you can't say to yourself that whoever translated this wasn't proficient. Because you see, those who translated the word of God were masters in Greek and Hebrew and various other languages. But when it comes to this verse, when you begin to dissect it and look at it, you realise that it's so far off the mark. It doesn't portray what we think it portrays. And as we dig and we look at the original Greek, and as I said, I believe this is one of those occasions where it's necessary to look at that, we'll begin to see, and you'll see verse 20, and you'll think, wow, that is such a blessing. That is for me. That is for me, in whatever situation I am, that I can take the word of God, and I can be led of God, and I don't need men of great education to come and encourage me in my quiet time. I'm not saying that there's no place for preaching. Well, there is. The Bible says there is. But the question here is this. Are we allowed? Is it right? Is it morally right? Is it spiritually right to be able to take the word of God and privately read it for ourselves and grow? Well, verses 19 to 21 are a whole. But if you look at verses 20 to 21, as you come in the middle of it, there's a preposition, the word for. Now, what that tells us is this, that verse 21 throws light on the meaning of the previous verse. So as you read verse 20, it comes to that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For, he says, prophecy never came by the will of man. So what we know now is that it's talking about the Scriptures that came into being, but they didn't come by the will of man. Now, when we talk about prophecy, the prophecy that's found in the Bible, we need to always bear in mind that it's speaking about this truth that comes from God. That's what this prophecy is all about. This is truth that comes from God. So, this word that we have, the Bible, as you read its pages, as you read passages in Genesis, in Psalms, in Jeremiah, you are reminded constantly that this is God's word, this is God's message to you and to me. So Peter says that that which we read from Genesis to Revelation did not come by the will of man. But if you go back to verse 20, there's a word there, and in English, it's the word is. In the New King James and the King James, it says, the prophecy of Scripture is, or it's not of any private interpretation. Well, the word is there, the word is, it should have been translated, or I think, the actual word, it means this, to come into being, or am born, to become, arise, or originate. There's another word we need to translate as well, and then I'll read the passage again with the words added. The word interpretation. That word interpretation means to unloose, or to unpack, to untie. So verse 20, if you were to read it as with these words added or changed, it would say this. Know this first, know this above everything else, that no prophecy, that is the word that comes from God, no prophecy of Scripture arises or originates as a result of any private unpacking. So that verse is nothing to do with you in your private dwelling. This is all about the prophets. It's all about the writers of the Word of God. It's saying, listen, that the Bible didn't come into being because of someone suddenly sitting on a stone and saying, ah, I know what I'll do. I'll write a Bible. I'll write a history of the world. The prophecy of the Bible doesn't come from the prophet's understanding of things. You know, it's not like, you know when you're in school and you're doing trigonometry, maybe the penny never dropped, but you may have something else, but I remember sitting there and I'm doing trigonometry and suddenly the penny dropped and I just remember, that is so easy. It's just about squares. So easy to do. We're not talking about a penny dropping like that. This is not what we're talking about. We are talking about men who have been driven or moved by the Holy Spirit. And you see, it fits in really well with verse 19. And so we have, it says, the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed. This word that has come from the prophets, you do well to heed, this confirmed word, this word that was not given to us by the private interpretation of some man in a little room or a prophet that stands before the crowds, but it was given by those who were moved by the Holy Spirit. You see, Peter is innocent. The Scriptures have been confirmed and are not based on the machinations and insight of man, the imaginations, all the thinking and the desires. They didn't originate in the meditations of a man. They didn't come of all by the will of man, but by holy men of God as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That's how the word of God came. And Peter is speaking to the scattered church, and he's saying, listen, you need to grasp this. All that I have spoken to you before, you need to know that all these teachings, all that has come about because of what God has done for you, was not by the will of man, but it was all by the will of God. But you see, what does it mean that they were moved? You know? What's this all about? Well, the word in the Greek to be moved means to bear, to carry, to bring forth. I remember years ago I bought a dinghy. And it's probably a 5-man dinghy. And I remember saying to my father, I'm going out with someone, we're going to go out into the sea. And the waves were about, they were quite high, they were. But it was just amazing. If you hit the waves right, you just stayed on the top of the waves. And I said to my friend, I said, look, my dad's getting a bit stressed now. We need to come back in. So we just lifted the motor up, and we just got on the top of the wave, and the wave just took us, carried us along. And you see, this is what this word is talking about. These men, these prophets of old, they were moved by God, and they were carried along. We turn to Acts 3 and 18, we read this. But those things that God foretold by the mouth of his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets. Peter is reminding his hearers that it was God who spoke through his prophets. As you read these words, he's saying to them, listen, have this confidence that this is God's word. This is the God who created all things that has delivered this to you and to me. Here in verse 21, we are shown that they were carried along like a ship on the ocean. You see, it couldn't have come from the prophet's imaginations, Peter lets us know earlier on in 1 Peter, because we read that they didn't really understand the things that they were writing. They understood something of it. They understood a little of what needed to be and what God had promised, but they didn't fully understand. We read it in 1 Peter 1 verse 10. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us they were ministering. They didn't fully grasp. Yet they were moved in faith by God to deliver these messages. The apostle is showing the reader that the message was given by God. Again, a reminder that verse 20 is not about you in your bedroom or at the kitchen sink or in your place of work, maybe at the factory bench when maybe you're reading the scriptures or whatever. If you are able to read the word of God for yourself. But what he's saying is the word of God in its entirety was not from the imagination of mankind, but God moved men. Remember Jeremiah? Jeremiah, you break your heart for Jeremiah sometimes, don't you? There in Jeremiah chapter 20, he says something similar in verse 15. there in Jeremiah, it says this there in verse 9 of Jeremiah 20. In fact, I'll read from verse 7. It says, "O Lord, you induced me, and I was persuaded. You are stronger than I, and I have prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocks me. For when I spoke, I cried out, I shouted, violence and plunder, because the word of the Lord was made to me a reproach and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was like, it was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not." Here was Jeremiah. He didn't want to go out and preach anymore. He didn't want to listen to the mocking and the ridicule. And he held him back. And he didn't want to go out. And he held him back and held him back. But he said, my bones were burning within me. I had to declare it. You listen or read of these men of old that walked across the land. You've been blessed mightily in you. You think, how could they? When you read of the history of our land, and when you read of where they went, and how they were treated, you think, how did they do it? Well, I believe they were men moved of God. Instead of one man, didn't it? He one morning woke up as a liar. God so filled him that at times when God so touches people. And you see, the word of God was written by men who were driven, who were carried along by the Lord. Remember Moses there in Exodus chapter 4. He's talking to the Lord and he doesn't want to go and speak to Pharaoh. Exodus 4 verse 10. It says, "Then Moses said to the Lord, Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since. You have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Do you not know who you're sending to speak to Pharaoh?" Well, what does the Lord say? "So the Lord said to him, Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you will say." Time and time again, we read of how the prophets were called not of their own will, but they were driven by God the Holy Spirit, like a ship on the sea. There was Jonah. He sat and sulked under that tree that had withered. He didn't want to go to Nineveh, but he knew that he had to go. God drove him there. And he preached the mercy of God. Yes, he preached judgment. But he also knew that God was a merciful God. And Nineveh repented. How do you walk across a city for 4 days? How do you preach in such a manner that even the very king hears about you? How do you preach in such a manner that the king puts on sackcloth and ashes? It's because you are a man driven by God. The Apostle Peter is making claim that the Bible is a unique book, like no other. A book not come from the thoughts of man, nor their trying to understand the future. In fact, the Bible is a book of knowledge which opens our eyes to what we could not see for ourselves. That's what it does. We cannot see for ourselves. We cannot see we're sinners. We cannot see there's a God. We cannot see these things because we are so blinded. We cannot see that sin has separated us from God and that we are doomed, that we have no hope in and of ourselves. Yes, we are told in Romans, aren't we, of that general revelation that men look at the universe and they cannot help but see that there is an intelligent design. It could not have happened out of a bang or from nowhere. There had to be some intelligence. But we need something special to reveal to us our need. In all times the Lord appeared before men and spoke as he was in human form. He would do miracles. And as you look at the Old Testament and you see what God did through men of old and women of faith, as God has showed to his people, as God showed to the nations around. But you see, his great gift to us is not the miracles, but his great gift to us is his word. It's his word that speaks, spoken to his servants, revealing to them his message, that his Bible is for us and speaks to us. There in Hebrews 11, we read of God speaking his word, and it says, by faith we understand that the world was framed by the word of God. And they brought it to the Hebrews, he's saying, listen, we can know there's an intelligent designer out there, but you see, it is only by faith can we truly know who created this world. How did Moses know all that he did to write down? How did he know how to write Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 and Genesis 3? How did he know this? Was it just simply passed on? No, I believe that God revealed this to him. God drove him. God gave him the words to write down. It was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. It wasn't Moses' imagination. God revealed it to him and he made a record of it. But my final point on this passage, as we look at the Bible written by so many men moved by the Holy Spirit, is that despite the fallibility of these men and the differences that we see in their different writing styles, because you read Peter and you know it's Peter, you read Paul and you read Luke, and they're all so different, John, these letters, their style is so different. Yet in all that, we see that these scriptures, as 2 Timothy 3 tells us, say in verse 16, that all scripture is breathed out by God, as men were driven. The liberal scholars, the devil, would all have us look and nitpick at textual problems, and they say that after all the translations and after all the thousands of years, this is 99% accurate. That's incredible. When you think this has been changed, they have carefully looked at every copy as they've translated it from a whole. It's been translated into so many different languages. And as you go back and as they find new manuscripts of years gone by, and they're reminded of how accurate it is. The world is ever looking to take away the authority of the Word of God. It hates God and hates His Word. But you see, these three verses are telling us this. They're not the inventions of man, but they're God's Word. They're confirmed. They are like a light shining into our hearts. Verse 20, they're not of the will of man, verse 21, but spoken by holy men, moved by God. Peter is saying, you who are scattered across the known world, you can have confidence in this book. because it is God's word revealed to man. And we all have different crosses to bear, don't we? We all face things that no one else can face. We may be facing them on our own at this present. Yes, we can face things with the church around us. They're praying for us, they're lifting us up. But ultimately, we have to face things on our own. And it's so difficult. And Peter is saying, listen, you can in your private place. You can read the scriptures. And the Spirit will interpret it for you. As you compare scripture with scripture, as you read its pages, this is for you. This is for me. 2018. This is for Martin Owens. To be able to sit down and know in my circumstance that God can speak to me. It's not some word for private interpretation of some organisation, some holy church. No. It's a word for the individual. It's a word to declare for all to read and to be blessed by. And the thing I want to leave you with this is this. You can have confidence in it. There is nothing in this world that you can have more confidence in than this word that was given to you by God himself. You read those three verses and you can come away thinking, this isn't for me. But it is, isn't it? You see, isn't this amazing that God has moved me to write this, to speak to me at this time. Amen. We're going to close, boy. It's not a carol, but I just wanted to sing that song, Behold Your God. Who has held the oceans in his hands? Who has numbered every grain of sand? Kings and nations tremble at his voice. All creation rises to rejoice. Behold our God, seated on his throne. He has seen fit to speak to us. desirous of being in your presence. But Lord, we do thank you that you have given us your word. And your word tells us that it gives light to the simple. And Lord, there are times when I feel that I don't understand. There are times when I struggle. And yet it is your word, through the power of your spirit, that we are able to understand. Lord, we thank you for that light that shone in our hearts. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to shine, that we would continue to taste of your word, leading and guiding us. Lord, we pray that all that we would know your wisdom. And Father, through those times of heaviness, those times of such difficulty, that Lord, that we would know that inner strength that comes from that food that we have found in your word. Jeremiah says that he ate of your word, and it burned within him. Lord, we pray that we would taste of the bread of life. And Lord, that our life would be full of your presence. So Father, we ask these things now in the name of our wonderful Saviour. Amen.